1:30 this afternoon. But delighted once again to welcome another guest of the day. So today we hear from Karen Mooney. Now, she's the founder and MD of Sarah Eden Introductions in Surrey. It's a professional matchmaking service that promises to do things the old-fashioned way. And Karen joins me on the line now. Karen, really lovely to have you with us this afternoon.
Hello, Sarah.
I love
Thank
the fact
you very
that,
much for having me on.
I love the fact that the old-fashioned way is still going strong because, of course, there's all sorts of swiping goings on and immediacy of looking up people online. But how does your service work?
Absolutely. I mean, since in the last year and a half, we've seen a huge increase of people coming to our agency because they want to deal with real people. They're fed up with swiping left, swiping right, and dealing with nameless faces on the internet where they don't even know the person they're exchanging their details with is real or not. And it's nice to actually deal with people because you can build up a level of trust. And also the type of people we attract, they're business and professional people. They want to engage with a service and they know that by joining us, people have signed a confidentiality contract. They know who they say they are. And we've carried out our due diligence to introduce them to compatible partners.
Does it tend to be older people that use your service? Because, of course, you know, young people have got things like Tinder. They're very, very used to online dating.
It's a variety of ages. It tends to be sort of the 30-pluses, if you like. But it's been lovely, actually, during lockdown, because some of our people have joined us sort of in their 80s and everything, which is wonderful. And they've embraced learning how to Zoom and Skype and all sorts of virtual platforms. And it's given them a new lease of life. And it's just been a very rewarding experience to be able to help all ages, if you like.
I had a friend that did online dating and it just seemed to be an area of some very, very unrealistic expectations. So she found that most of the men that were interested in her were sort of a good 20 years older, or she found that people were saying that you needed to be extremely thin or and they weren't themselves. You know, there lots of people are asking things of other people when they didn't meet their own requirements.
You're absolutely right, Sarah. It's actually really quite interesting. You know, I'm not saying that online dating doesn't work, but people have to have realistic expectations, and they have to know, they have to accept that the sort of person they want to attract is the sort of person that's going to be right for them. So it's, you also can attract a lot of people who aren't men. More so, who aren't looking necessarily for a long-term relationship, they're just looking for a casual fling.
All people that are lying as well about who they are and putting on photographs that are years out of date as well. I mean, it's an absolute minefield out there, isn't it?
Well, it certainly can be. And I have to say, we've had some amazing stories from people during lockdown. A lady who joined us did some internet dating and he took her out of the platform for the website and they were WhatsApping. And he said he was French and lived in France, but he had a Nigerian accent. So that really made her realise that actually she was being scammed by somebody in Nigeria.
Yeah, there's a lot of scams going on as well. And there are people that make sorts of claims that they're spies. And so therefore they have to keep, you know, a lot of their life secret. And unfortunately, we've heard a lot about romance fraud and how people. So what do you, how do you
Hello?
Check... can you still hear us at all, or have you lost us, Karen? I can hear you.
You're back now.
Oh,
you're
we're back. Now. That's good. The joys of tech. Yeah. So we've heard a lot about romance fraud and people scamming people. And in fact, we've had some heartbreaking stories on the programme. But how do you check out people that come to you?
We do lots of things. First of all, we meet them face to face, so we know that they really are who they say they are. You can do 192.com to check where somebody lives, if they live alone. We use LinkedIn and all sorts of things, but the people who come to us, as I said, they're professional people. They when we introduce somebody to somebody, they have to both bring as much to the table as the other one has, so they have to be financially compatible as well. So if we're not sure about anybody, if somebody comes in and we're not sure about them, we don't take them on. We've been business 33 years this year. We're not going to our reputation hang in the balance because of somebody who's slightly dubious, let's say.
Let's just go back to the beginning here, because I find your story quite fascinating, how you started. So you began this professional matchmaking just by realising there was a gap in the market, and this was quite some time ago. Tell us where it all began.
Well, I started Sarah Eden on the 19th of September 1988, after I was in my 20s, and I realised that it was very difficult for people to meet people. We were all running around, working hard. We all had mortgages, and house prices were going through the roof and everything. And it was just difficult to meet people who wanted similar things to you. Plus, the poor men didn't know, you know, it was a time of change, whether we wanted to be looked after, whether we wanted to have children or not, or whether we wanted to be career women. So I just decided that, you know, as I said, I was in my 20s, and if there was a gap in the market, an opportunity to be had. And so I handed in my notice and had a good job, handed in my notice, and I started Sarah Eden. And thousands of success stories later, it's been a truly rewarding experience.
Do you remember your first success story? Because, of course, as you say, there have been many, but I would imagine the first time that you heard that you'd maybe matched a couple and they'd then gone on to get married, that must have been an amazing feeling.
I do. Don't forget, not everybody tells us, or told us through the years when they got married, but I do remember our first wedding. It was Malcolm and Vicky, and they got married at Christmas time. I can't remember the date, but it was Christmas time, and it was an absolutely beautiful wedding. She wore a Queen Genevieve midnight blue velvet dress, and it was cold, it was snowing, and they had this, sort of fires burning outside the church, and it was beautiful. Sadly, he's now passed away, which is, you know, sad, but I remember it like it was yesterday, absolutely.
And of course, many, many more success stories since then. Do you get a feeling? So someone walks in and you have a chat with them. Do you instantly think, I know the one for you? We've got, or does it take a little bit longer than that?
Sometimes that happens. It does, 100%. But normally it takes a little bit longer than that. But, you know, we've had so many success stories and so many funny things that have happened throughout the years. You know, one of our couples, they worked for the same company. They're actually on our website. They came to our 30th anniversary celebrations, and they worked for the same company. And he actually took over her job in Russia, took over her desk in Russia. They both liked each other. She came back to the UK. It took them both joining Sarah Eden to actually, he thought that I'd always liked her, and she thought I'd always liked him. And it's just a lovely story. They tell the story so well on the website. And it actually, you know, they could ask each other out, whether it was, you know, at work, it just wasn't a done thing.
It's have you had disasters as well, though? Have you sort of paired people together? They've gone on a date and they've come back and they've gone, what were you thinking, Karen? That was, you know, we are poles apart.
Of course not, Sarah. No, absolutely. Yeah, of course we have. I'm sure we have over the years. I can't actually think of any off the top of my head now, but... you know, there are different stories. I remember many years ago interviewing this chap who was a dentist, and he was lovely. And he, I think, was about 55 at the time. And I went downstairs, got a pile of profiles, brought them up, put them on in front of him. He said, "You're obviously very good at this." I said, "Thank you. That's very nice of you to say so." He said, "The lady on the top, I was married to her for 25 years. and she'd actually recommended that he come along to see us, but he hadn't said anything. So it's quite funny. But, you know, through the years we've had fathers and daughters and brothers. We actually got two brothers married to their wives. You know, we've had a double generation success. Recently we had, actually. We had Pim and Lynn, who came along to our 30th anniversary celebrations. It was second time round for both of them. And he had a son who was an airline pilot, and he was talking to Debbie, my manager here, and he said, "You know, he's a good-looking chap. He's an airline pilot. He just can't meet the right sort of people." So Pim said, they phoned Mark there and then, and Pim said, "Come along and see Sarah Eden." So he came along to see Debbie. And now they're actually getting married this November. They had to cancel their wedding twice because of the lockdowns. But they've got a beautiful baby, Sophia, that was born a year ago last November.
Oh, you see, babies as well. You say second time round, and I have not re-entered the world of dating because I have four children, and you sort of think, oh, I don't know. And you hear that awful word baggage, but I kind of
Sorry, I've
think,
lost you again.
I kind of think, oh, we'll get back to you. Are you still there, Karen? Have we got you back again?
Yeah, I'm here.
So
Yeah,
I'm
I'm
talking about the
back.
fact that I've never re-entered the world of dating the second time around, as you mentioned there, because I've got four children, and you hear that word baggage, and what, you know, it gets complicated, doesn't it? When the second time around, you've got homes that you've built, you've got children that you've got, and then you bring families together. You know, how do you deal with all of that when there are children involved in proceedings?
Well, absolutely. I mean, we don't get older without baggage, do we? We've all had our lives, and so I think as long as you just have to be very aware when you go into it, are you, if your children are sort of still at home or sort of teenagers, we all know how difficult teenagers can be sometimes.
Oh, I think we've lost you now.
You know, do you
We do seem to have a bit of a problem with the line. Let's just see if we've got. We're losing you, Karen, just as you're talking about difficult teenagers. Yeah, and as we say, they're bad enough for sort of dealing with them on your own. But when you come in and deal with somebody else's difficult teenagers, that's quite tricky, isn't it?
Yeah. You have to go into it with your eyes open and know exactly what you're taking on. I mean, I remember back probably about 15 years ago, a couple actually got together. They were very much in love, but their children did not get on. So unfortunately, they had to separate. So you have to, you have to be aware because you have to think of your children as well.
That's the thing, isn't it? So second time round, first time round, you're worrying what the parents think. Second time round, you're worrying what their children think of you, and then you've got the added complications of all of that going on. But you've clearly had a lot of success stories. And tell us about the, I love the fact that people never give up on love, and that you've got people in their 80s joining and finding somebody to be their new life partner.
Oh, it's lovely, actually. It really is lovely. We're having huge success with people sort of in the 70s and 80s. And in fact, I'm going to tell you a short story that happened probably about 6 weeks ago now. So I had a client who I was working for him. He joined the membership level I personally look after. And he was looking for a certain kind of woman, but somebody who would travel with him and everything. He was the top of his field in his profession. He was 75. And I just kept thinking of this lady who I really thought that he'd be suitable for. And with my membership level, I network with past members sometimes. And I phoned her and I said, "Yeah, are you still single?" She said, "Yes, definitely." And she said, "Oh," and I told her about my client, and I said to him, "It's okay if I send your profile to her." Anyway, to cut a long story short, she said, "Yes, he looks absolutely fantastic. Our backgrounds are very similar." And she said, "I better tell you, I moved at the end of November last year." So she's telling me her address. I suddenly realised they lived very close to each other. Their postcode was literally almost identical. But of course, I couldn't say anything to them. But they were both overjoyed when they realised that they can actually walk to each other's houses.
What is the distance then? What's the maximum distance that you'd recommend when you put people together?
Well, there's no maximum distance really. It depends because, we've got a chap in Newcastle who loves to travel, and it's more important that he meets the right sort of person. But certainly, we have taken people from overseas, and we've got successes from overseas. Some of them are on the website. Not all our successes are on the website because they ask us, which is very nice. We're very proud that they do, because they're so happy because we brought them happiness to be on our website. But yes, we've during lockdown, we took somebody on from South Africa, somebody on from Russia, somebody on from two people from America, but they tend to be expats wanting to come back to England, so wanting to build up a network of a friends and hopefully maybe find a relationship. So when they come back, they've got something to look forward to.
So no
But distance
boundaries, no
knows.
boundaries for love. I love, and you must, you talked about that lovely first wedding that you went to. You must get invited to an awful lot of weddings.
Well, not so much recently, obviously, but we do, and my staff do, of course. We used to get invited to a lot more in the early days, but as Sarah Eden's grown and we've got more and more members, we don't get invited to so many. But I mean, I was thinking actually last night of a story that I was talking to my manager Debbie about, and we were invited to a wedding, and the bride and groom, she was a minor celebrity, and lovely celebrity, and he was a businessman, and they invited us to their wedding because they were very pleased that we'd introduced them, and they said, "Don't tell anybody how we know you." And we got there, and she didn't know that lots of her friends had actually joined Sarah Eden as well. So it was just really embarrassing for us, you know. A lot of them were sort of guests, and it was all right in the end, but it was just quite funny.
Isn't it funny as well, Karen, because I quite often, you see couples that are blissfully happy together and you think, I would never... You quite often, Karen, don't you, see couples that are blissfully happy together and you think, I would never, ever have put them together. So it's weird, isn't it? Love and compatibility, and quite unpredictable as well.
I miss some of what you said then, Sarah. This is such a bad line. I'm not sure it's because we're opposite the castle, and sometimes that can affect
Oh, I think, unfortunately, just as I was about to find out the secret of compatibility, I think we've lost Karen. We lost you altogether, Karen. Yeah, we have lost Karen. Let's try again. We lost you, Karen? Yes, we've lost Karen. Still very enjoyable talking to Karen this afternoon. You can find out more. Sarah Eden, introduction. Have you met through a dating agency or through something like Sarah Eden? Really enjoyed talking to her as our guest of the day this afternoon. Maybe you have some stories to share. What is the secret of love? Of finding somebody, you know, when you've got, hate that word baggage, but maybe when you're not the first time round, or whether you're in your 70s or your 80s and you're looking for a second chance of love, do keep your stories coming in. You can email me as well, sarah.gorrell@bbc.co.uk. I have to revisit this subject at some point, because we always get some really good stories on.